Wow. Mike, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure for me and Ophelia to be back at Cathedral of Praise. This church has become so much a part of our family. So much of what we do is because of your investment and your trust in the work that we do. So I want to say thank you to both Pastor Mike and to Dean and the rest of the staff here. Every time I come back here, I'm just deeply, there's some happiness that comes upon me. And I just want to say thank you to the worship team. What an amazing team that you have. And worship teams have to work very hard to, you know, present the services every weekend. And I think we need to give them a big hand and say thank you. Ophelia is here with me, and some of you will remember that in 2013, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, stage 4. And the doctors in my country said she will live maximum 2 months. The doctors said it is not possible for her to live, but God said something otherwise. This year, we celebrated 6 years of Ophelia being cancer-free. We also celebrated our 37th wedding anniversary. Now, there's lots of people who played a role in my life in shaping me. And I'm very grateful to all of those people. But I'm also very grateful to Ophelia. She stood with me all of these years. I'll be celebrating in December 2019, 40 years of ministry. And all of these years, Ophelia stood with me. She showed me in a quiet ways how to live for Jesus. And I'm grateful and I want to acknowledge what Ophelia has contributed to my life. Since you are my very special friends, a church that has taken interest in all the work that we do, all the pain that we have gone through, so I decided this time I'll bring some slides. And I'm going to present those slides and also in between view our story of what God has done in us and through us. The second picture on top, that was the time when I was a student at Columbia International University. That's how small Prashant and Thilini. We returned home in 1989. And my brothers and sisters, they live in Australia. They too joined us, but their mission was a different mission. Their mission was to convince me that we should, Ophelia and I, together with the kids, should migrate to Australia and live. So here I walk in to my country, my brothers and sisters over there, they have brought in the migration forms. They said, all you have to do is to sign and agree and give up this madness of serving God in Sri Lanka. I immediately said, it's not possible. And then I remember my brother. He just moved close to me and said, Adrian, all I want you to do is tonight to go into your room, look at Prashant, look at Thilini, and consider what you are going to put them through by refusing to migrate and live in a better country. Consider what you will be doing to your children. And I must say, that night I did not sleep. I wept the entire night. But by morning, I had decided. So I met with my brother and sister at the breakfast table, and I said, no matter what, I know for sure God has called me to serve here, and I'm going to continue to do that. Life was normal. I sent Prashant to an ordinary school that which I could afford. I sent my daughter to an ordinary school that we could afford. But when he finished his high school, When he was ready to go to college, he got a scholarship to Gordon College. And that day, I cried again. But this time, it was not out of sorrow, but out of being absolutely grateful to the faithfulness of God. He studied at Gordon. He came back to Sri Lanka. He started a movement called Sri Lanka Unites, bringing young people from the ethnic divide. We have two ethnic groups called the Sinhalese and the Tamils. And we had a civil war, and we had killed hundreds of thousands of people. Prashant comes into my country and says, "Dad, God told me to start a movement that brings reconciliation between this ethnic divide." Today, it's one of the largest youth movements in the country. Not only is it the largest youth movement, last month, he was awarded an award called Point of Light from the Queen of England. And Prashant happens to be the second Sri Lankan in the history of our nation who have received an award from the Queen of England for the work he does in the country. His work is recognized by your State Department, by the government of England and the United Nations. His movement has now spread to 12 other countries. The newest country that was added to Global Unites happened to be the United States of America. It started in Boston a month ago. The reason I'm sharing this is because of your interest in the work that we do, but something more than that too, just to share with you the faithfulness of God. My daughter, she got a scholarship to Biola. She qualified, she studied, and she's now involved with me in Movement of Asian Access, but also she's now committed to working in Cambodia, rescuing young girls who were sold into a life of prostitution and sexual slavery. So I brought a small video that you can watch. Now, sometimes we think that we make sacrifices for God, but God will not be our debtor. What we sacrifice, he takes it as an act of obedience, and then he blesses it and gives us something much more than we have sacrificed. Ophelia and I thought we sacrificed for the Lord by living in Sri Lanka. But what he has done in us, in the life of my children, and in the life of our ministry, I'm amazed. And I stand to say, thank you, Lord. In Psalms it says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. It's always a joy for me to come back because I see God's faithfulness upon this church and the blessings. I know Mike and Dean, they moved from Columbia, South Carolina, to this area to start a church. And the blessings that this church has inherited as a result of their sacrifice, I see it coming from generation to generation. I see the blessings on their children. And yesterday, I was chatting with their oldest grandchild. And I went back to sleep. Oh my God, the theological reality that the blessings of God come from generation to generation is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are sons and daughters. We are not ordinary Christians. God, in his love and mercy and his economy, he picked you, he picked me. It's a privilege to serve him. He's our Father, he's seated on the throne. And you and I have been blessed to worship him. even as you worship with all of the freedom, at this moment, there are millions who are trying to worship God and there is no freedom. And there are millions who are living in absolute spiritual darkness. It is our privilege and joy to be world changers, to bring change into the lives of our people. So I'm going to share some of our ministry slides. And as I share the ministry slides, I will also begin to weave in our story. This is our logo. Our ministry is called Kitu Sevana, which is a church planting ministry. We plant churches across our nation. These are some of the churches that we have planted. Very ordinary people. Ordinary people who believe that God has called them. They would respond to the call and they will move to another area as missionaries and begin a church plant. And a little bit of context to my country. My country was colonized by the Portuguese in 1505. Then the Dutch took over. And when the Dutch was tired of us, the British took over. So from 1505 to 1948, we were colonized. And that era is called the Christian colonization of Sri Lanka and Asia. The missionaries were very short-sighted. I wish they had read their scriptures well. They came into our country very enthusiastic for the gospel, but because they were short-sighted, they converted our people with the sword. And if people did not become Christians, they were killed. They were so enthusiastic about it. They were not only killed, they pulled down some of the temples, burned some of the Buddhist monks. And when our people went back, when we received our independence in 1948, our people went back into Buddhism with much hatred towards Christianity. So there is hostility. There is persecution, not only in Sri Lanka, but in many of the Asian countries, originating from what happened during the colonial period. In the midst of persecution and hostility, we continue to plant these churches. Recently, we had a family camp. We had over 2,000 people who joined us for our family camp. And we had about 700 children. And about 25% of the 2,000 happened to be those who are non-Christians. Our Christians have invited them. Amazing things began to happen. You know, the people who were non-Christians, they were amazed by the love of God, but much more by the power of the Holy Spirit. Demons were cast out. People were reconciled to God. And what I see in our ministry is this. Very ordinary people are moving into new areas. They are pioneering new places. And amazing things are beginning to happen. One of our workers moved into a difficult area. And he and his wife began to serve in that area. The hostility began to build up. The people got so angry with what was happening that because they were preaching Christ. One night they attacked the home, they beat up the couple, and they said, "We don't want you guys here." The next day I went to that place and I offered them a transfer. They said, "No, we're going to continue here. God called us, and we're going to serve here." Last month, he walked into my office. He said, "I came to share with you an exciting thing." One of the people who attacked him and the church, he got sick, very sick, and he was in hospital. So the family came to him and said, "Would you come and pray for us? This is the family that was very vocally against us." He said, "Sure, I will do that." By the time he went into the hospital, that person had died. So he walks in and he asks permission from the doctor, "Can I pray for?" "I came to pray." The doctor said, "It's too late, he's dead." This guy says, that's okay, doctor, but can I still pray? He said, yes. He said, I started praying. Suddenly, this guy woke up. But now I want to ask you this question. Does that surprise you? When we read through the Old Testament, when you read through very specially the book of Exodus and see what God did with Moses, isn't he the God who parted the Red Sea? Isn't he the God who gave those people to eat manna and water from the rocks? But unfortunately, as I travel into some parts of the world today, people seem to be surprised. But ladies and gentlemen, God is at work in Asia and in the Middle East, especially in the Middle East. There is a great revival that is taking place. And in fact, the missiologist tells us perhaps it is one of the greatest revivals in the history of Christianity. Thousands upon thousands of people from Islamic faith are turning to Christ, not because the gospel is being preached, but through dreams and visions and through signs and wonders. I'm connected to a church in Egypt, which is called the Kosa Dubara Church, the largest church in the Middle East. I'm friends with them, I visit with them. So let me tell you two stories of what God is doing. There was a young boy in Egypt. He met with an accident and he hurt himself bad. His bubbles was damaged. They brought him to the hospital. The doctors tried to save his life, but they couldn't. He died. According to Islamic faith, when someone dies, he has to be buried almost immediately or very soon. So he said, call the parents and tell them, the boy, your son is dead, and to carry on the Islamic rituals. He sends a message. He continues with his surgery, and after about 5 hours, when he was going back home, as he was walking, he felt someone touched him and said, go back. He looked back. There was no one. Again, he started walking. The same response, no one. But this time he thought, maybe I should go and find out what's happening. He comes to the surgery room, the operating theater, and this boy who was dead is seated. The doctor asked him, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened, but I can tell you this. Suddenly I was transported from my body and I was floating up. And I met somebody and he describes Jesus. He didn't know what he was describing. And he said, I was there and I was playing an instrument and he was demonstrating it like this. He said, I was playing an instrument and I was singing songs. And suddenly he said, this is not your time. You have worked in your country. And that's when you came and asked me. The doctor said, son, I don't understand what you are saying. But I know this. You are dead. But you are alive now. And he discharged him. So the boy goes home, but he's determined to find out the instrument he played. He went looking for it, and that happened to be a piano accordion. And he finds one, and he picks it up, and he starts playing, and he's amazed he can play it well. Not only he can play it well, he suddenly remembered those songs, and he began to sing. It was all Bible songs talking about the love of Jesus. They are doing a movie on his life. And this boy goes from village to village sharing the love of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God is at work. Our God is seated on the throne and he's reaching out to millions and millions and millions. The church is growing very rapidly in Asia. Every year, the church in Asia grows by 3.6%. Only in China, the Christian population has reached from the underground churches to a point of 120 million Christians in China already. The population in your country is about 350 million. So they say by the year 2050, China perhaps will be the largest Christian country on this planet Earth. What an amazing story. Mao Zedong said, I will wipe out Christianity. But you know what happened to Mao Zedong? He got wiped out. But the church continues. The gates of hell will not prevail. The kingdom of God continues with power and authority. Last month, I was in Jakarta, in Indonesia. I met with the church leaders, and they had arranged a program for me to teach. I sat with the church leaders and asked them, I said, I keep hearing that there is a large amount of people coming to Christ. Can you clue me what's happening? They said, Pastor Adrian, we think it's about 25% of people of Jakarta are already Christians. 25% in a Muslim country, in the capital city of Jakarta, people have come to Christ. Here's another story. There was a young girl. God spoke to her. And I hope you and I know that God speaks to us. Unfortunately, we are so busy that we don't have time to hear or to listen to what God has to say. God speaks to this girl and says, she comes to get into a taxi. God says, I want you to tell this man that I love him. This girl says, God, I can't do that. It's not safe. But you know what? There are times that God tells us to do something and we think it is not safe. We think something else is safer. But you know what? The safest thing on this earth is to do His will. And this girl tries to run away, but there are many times that you and I try to run away from what God wants us to do. But no matter what we do, no matter how much we run, finally, God is sovereign. He wins. So my advice to my young people in my country is this, it's better to give in and do His will rather than be forced into doing His will. So this girl says, Jesus, can I do this? I will tell this guy now to change the direction. Take me to a place where there is lots of people. Then I will get down. Then I will tell him, Jesus loves you. At least he will not be able to hurt me because there are so many people. Looks like Jesus agreed to that bargain. And he did exactly that. So she gets out of the taxi, gives him the cash, and just before he could drive off, he says, by the way, Jesus loves you. This guy gets so angry, he said, what did you say? She said, Jesus loves you. Suddenly he started weeping. He said, this entire week, Jesus appeared to me in dreams. And he told me that he loves me. But I refused to believe that. Last night, in the dream, he said, there will be a girl who will get into your taxi. Then she will say, take me to a different location. And she will get off at a place where there is lots of people. And then she will get down from the taxi. And then she will pay you. And then she will tell you that I love you so that you know that I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is on the throne. He's an amazing God. He's a faithful God. Our future goal as we continue in Sri Lanka is to plant a church in every province of Sri Lanka. My prayer is that there will be multiple churches reaching out to people and sharing the gospel with power and authority. To fulfill that, we have brought in what we call our sustainability projects. To sustain our ongoing church planting movement, you need to be able to raise some of your funds within the nation. My commitment to the movement is to raise any capital expenditure, but I'm asking and praying together with my staff so that we'll be sustainable in raising our own funds So we have piggeries, we have plantations, we do anything that brings us cash because we want to serve the Lord. We want to make sure that our country is rich with the gospel of Christ. The only reason is this. The scriptures tell us there is salvation in no other name, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that is true, if you and I believe that to be true, then 98% of my people are moving to a Christless eternity. And I cannot relax. They are moving to a Christless eternity. Most of the Asian countries, the Christian population is 0.1%, 1%, 2%. But God is at work. But God works through human beings like you and I. God has placed you in this country, a country that is deeply blessed. Every time I come to this country, I'm so surprised how much blessed you are. You are blessed. And God wants you to be a blessing to the nations. There is no country as blessed as you are. In fact, your economy is doing so well that we are hurting at the moment because your dollar is gaining strength. Our currency is losing its power. It's a blessed country, ladies and gentlemen. You have the freedom to worship. You can worship anytime, anywhere. Nobody's going to kill you for that. But there are millions of Christians. In fact, every year, 110,000 people lay their life for the cause of Christianity in this 21st century. 110,000 people die for the cause of Christ. Further to what I do with my church, I also lead a movement called Navodaya. Navodaya basically means a new beginning. We bring churches and other parachurch movements together to talk of strategy as to how to reach our nation. Because I believe in the kingdom of God. It's not only my church must prosper. The kingdom of God needs to prosper. Millions needs to be saved. We reach out to our people using different strategies. Both Pastor Mike and I, we have a mutual friend in this country by the name of Ray Hughes. A few years ago, he came to our country. And he told, and he did was prior to 2005, 2 years prior to that, perhaps 2003. And I had arranged a program for him to minister to pastors. The entire night he had cried. He came down and said, Pastor Adrian, I need to tell you that your country is going to be hit by a tidal wave. And so many people are going to die from the south to the east. The entire southeast belt will be hit by a tidal wave. He never used the word tsunami. In 2005, it just happened the way he prophesied. And the first day when I went down south, when I saw the dead bodies along the sea coast, I was surprised and I remembered what Ray Hughes prophesied. Then he called me again about a year later. He said, God gave me another word for your country. He said, this time God told me that there's going to be a political change. The current president is going to call for an election and he's going to lose. And not only is he going to lose, a new guy is going to come into power and things are going to get more stabilized in the country. It happened just like that. Isn't it amazing that the scriptures would tell us that God confines what he's about to do with his friends? And it's you and I. We are chosen. We are sons and daughters. We are not only chosen, he has empowered us. And he shares his dreams for the future with us. Recently called me and he said, God gave me another word for your country. There's going to be a revival in your nation. A revival that will begin in Sri Lanka and a revival that will begin to spread to other countries. So my immediate response was, Ray, you are proved to be true, correct, twice. I want to believe that the third is also going to be true. And so would you come to Sri Lanka? And so he's going to be in Sri Lanka on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of December. And we are gathering as much as we can, the church leaders, the pastors, and people who are working in parachurch movements. You know for what? For a day, couple, 3 days of fasting and prayer, seeking God to bring in a revival in our nation. We need a revival. Our country is about 2% Christians, 98%. When I look at India, when I look at Indonesia, when I look at the other countries, people are moving to a Christless eternity. And only a revival can bring in the masses into the kingdom of God. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, number one, was to declare that God is faithful. He is a faithful God. The second reason I'm sharing with you is to inform you what God is doing across the nations. He's seated on the throne. Our God is an amazing God. I was thrilled when you all sang that song. I'm cleansed. I'm forgiven. The blood of Christ has cleansed me. There are millions who do not know this reality. They're living in spiritual darkness. And the third reason I want, the reason I shared, is to ask you to pray for us. The gospel is growing, gospel is moving with power and authority. And so is the persecution. And a revival is what we are now praying and asking God to bring in our nation. You have had the privilege of believing. You have had the privilege of worshiping. You had the privilege of becoming one of the nations that have blessed the nations through the financial support you gave missionaries all across the world. You can stand with us so that there will be yet another revival that takes place all across the Asian region. I want to say thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for being our friends. Every time I come here, I'm amazed by the hospitality, by the love, by who you are. You have an amazing church. You have an amazing church. And it is our privilege for Phil and I to keep coming back to you because you are our friends. And God bless you for all that you do in this church and what you do across the nations. Thank you. Thank you.
You can be seated for a moment. Aiden, let me respond back to you as the guest service folks get ready to receive the offering. It's been our privilege to partner with you. And so as a part of what we've tried to do in this community and ministry around, to be able to have somebody that we know and know your character, know what you're doing there in that ministry, it's a blessing to us. So what we're going to do is bless them now, and I got a few questions I want to ask them. So the entire offering will go to their ministry, so you can want to give cash or give a check. But can you just pause just for a moment? Just I need some light. You reach in your pocket. You say, that's terrible to stop me when I'm getting my money. but I just had something to strike me. I just want to share with you. When I use the word seed faith, you know what I'm talking about? That you're sowing a seed in faith that you're giving. And it's not that you're buying anything. It's not that you're twisting God's arm. You're just attaching a little faith in a certain area to what you're believing for. And I don't know if we could do it or not, but Talini, their daughter, we never did point out which one of those that she was. But she's a cute gal. And she goes, and so she's amidst these folks, and you know, anywhere from Adrian from
Cambodia,
9, 10, 11 year old girls who are in prostitution. Yeah.
That's the girl in the corner, left corner.
Yeah, on the left. That's his daughter here, yes. And so she goes and does that. And so there's actually been cases where they have, you have actually bought girls out, paid money, bought them from those who are wrangling them and bring them out.
If I may interrupt, Mike. This is the 21st century, and we live in a country, and you live in a country where human rights are so honored, and a human rights violation is a serious crime. But in the state of country of Cambodia, you can buy a girl for $200 US. For a period of time, you won't use her. And we have purchased 3 girls back now, paying $200 and bringing them back. You know, sometimes because you live in this country, you do not know what life is in other parts of the world. You are blessed. But this is what is happening in other parts of the world. Cambodia, particularly, the young children are at amazing risk.
Yeah. So it's been going over inside of me while he was speaking, that for some of us, for our children and grandchildren, just to attach a seat of faith, you know, Lord, be there with them. When they need help, send somebody to help them. You know, I just want to make a deposit for some of you who may want to, they need salvation. You know, what a great way to attach, again, just to see the faith, saying, God, I'm investing in a ministry, I know it's honorable, who are reaching people. Now, as a point of seed, I'm believing you to reach some of my crowd too. Y'all following me with that? So just whatever area the Lord prompts you to just maybe attach a seed, faith, concept as you give, please do so. So again, make the checks out straight to the church or put the cash. And he's going to be up on the website. So if you didn't come prepared today, you can go on the website and give later on, all right? But Father, as we sow this seed into good soil, what a privilege it is to be able to put what we know is going to be a redemptive thing in place for lives. Thank you for the privilege and honor of doing that. So we do. We give now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, as you give, Adrian, let me ask you just a couple of questions as we receive the offering. You come from a place where you have had to walk through some of this fear along and along and along the way. I mean, you just didn't pop up one day and you're like you are. So when we talk about this series we're going into, you've kind of walked a good bit of that out yourself.
Let me say this. I want to make myself vulnerable. And the reason I want to make myself vulnerable is so that I can be a blessing to someone who feels just like me. I had a horrible childhood. It was a broken childhood. And I just drifted from one thing to another as a teenager. Until one day the Lord reached out to me. I didn't reach out to him. He reached out to me. The scriptures tell us, you didn't choose God, but God chose you. And that particular day began a new journey. I was living with fear, anxiety, and brokenness. And shame, and guilt, and everything that goes with someone who has had a hard childhood. But I can tell you this. The scriptures tells that the Spirit of the living God comes and lives within us. You and I become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives within us. And so it's a choice that a Christian has to make now. You can live with fear and anxiety and suffer. Or you can reach out to God and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me, Lord, to trust you? The scriptures say some trust in horses and chariots, but I trust in you. For me, I took the option of not living in anxiety and fear, but I said, God, I leave my brokenness as something in the past. I'm cleansed and forgiven. But I want to start with you. Trust in the Lord and do not despair. He is a friend so true. So as we live in this world, and many of us go through some difficult times. But you know what? The difficult times, God did not allow it to be a difficult time, and he didn't enjoy it in heaven. It so happened that someone caused us pain. But God takes our pain, and he redeems it, and he uses that to be a blessing to others. So here is the, you can live with fear and anxiety, or you can live trusting God. One or the other will overtake it. If you are living in fear, fear will overtake faith. Or if you live with faith, faith can overtake the fear and take you and give you total confidence and freedom to walk with him. So my plea, please go through this series, but remember this, the one within us is greater than the one out there, and the one in us can take our pain and transform it to be a blessing to the others.
Okay, Adrian, I'm going to ask you and a few, if you would, to walk out to the foyer. And I know some folks want to say hello to you and greet you. I hadn't seen you since last year. And so, but we want you to stand with me, if you will. And that process that Adrian's talking about, and we will talk about it, is one that sometimes it takes gradual steps, but you're on the journey. You may not get there overnight, but in this series, we're going to begin to take steps that's going to get us there. I meant to tell you to drop that. I'll drop the note card in the offering, and forgot to tell you to do that, but some of you did probably. But if you didn't, just give it to a guest service folks on the way out, and they'll be glad to give them to me, but I'd love to hear from you. Lord, bless you, and Lord, keep you, and Lord, cause his face to shine upon you. And I bless every single one of you with the stories you heard today. Your story is just as miraculous and can be. And I just bless you as you walk into fulfillment of what God has for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week, everybody.